Please continue to remember that God causes the sown word to bear fruit. He has promised that it will not return void, but will accomplish what He sent it to do. And we believe that God has sent this last message for the highest purpose, namely to call out the bride church, to bring her into line, to correct her, to lower the high, to exalt the low, to straighten the crooked, and to present a well-prepared people to the Lord when Jesus Christ returns as the bridegroom to take the bride home. And I would like to remind you of two things: what John saw in visions on the Isle of Patmos. He saw the bride adorned, the bride of the Lamb. Come, I will show you the bride of the Lamb. And Brother Branham also had such a vision. He saw the bride. He saw how she fell out of step, and then he saw how she was brought back into step towards the end. And we believe with all our hearts that all who belong to the bride will be brought back into divine step. There cannot be different brides, different messages, different directions. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one church as the foundation of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. One bride, the bride of Jesus Christ, who listens only to the voice of the bridegroom. I am full of confidence in this regard, for I do not look at myself or the circumstances surrounding me, but truly, from a divine perspective, I already see at the end of this generation a bride without spot or wrinkle who will meet the bridegroom. Paul already wrote that the Lord will present to himself a church that has no spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb, sanctified by the word of truth, sealed as God's property with the Holy Spirit unto the day of our bodily redemption, when the corruptible will put on incorruption and the mortal will put on immortality. God has determined it, written it down in His Word, so we believe it, and so it will come to pass. Can you say amen to that? 100%. That is yes and amen. God has said so. Someone asked me yesterday in Austria, in Salzburg, what I thought about the hole in the ozone layer. You all know the term. And lo and behold, it is already the introduction to what will happen at the time when God will make amends for the damage done to Israel. And have you ever read in the Bible that the time will come when the moon will have the radiance of the present sun, and that the sun will have 7 times its radiance at the time when God will make amends for the damage done to Israel? Who among you has read it? There are few hands raised. I see only 1 or 2. All right. Then I will read it to you, so that you know that it's written in the Bible, namely in the prophet Isaiah. But that is not our topic today. It will be in the book, and more will be written about it. But it is indeed written in the Word of God. It should be Isaiah chapter 30. It is verse 26. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. And even though this will come to pass shortly before the establishment of the millennial kingdom, imagine what will happen when the sun becomes 7 times more powerful than it is today. What happens then? What remains then? And when the moon is like the sun today, what then? You will see that it was not the believers who were fools, who believed God's word from their hearts, but the wise men of this world will cry out when the heat breaks through. They will have much to endure because they mocked God and made fun of him. How grateful we can be to believe as the scriptures say. But as I said, that is not our topic today. We certainly still have a lot to say to the people in the name of the Lord, and we truly hope that this message will reach the world at large. Let us return briefly to Psalm 113. O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I would have liked all the Bible translators to have pronounced the name. Everywhere we read Lord, it says Yahweh. Then we would have simply known, praise Yahweh, the Lord, who revealed himself in his covenant name. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. You know that people all over the earth praise the Lord. Here it is day, there it is night. Here the sun sets, there it rises. Everywhere the redeemed praise the name of the Lord. Then it says, the Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He looks upon the children of men. He looks upon us with mercy to bless us. God is not uninvolved in the gatherings of the saints. On the contrary, they happen according to his will. And the Lord gave the promise, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Let us believe that he is here today. He is present today. Our beloved brother Eugen Danzeisen recently read us this verse from Galatians chapter 4, probably verse 29, which says, what says the scripture? That was something very special. The question arose immediately, and one question led to another. What does Scripture say about this? What does Scripture say about the end times? What does the Scripture say? What does the Scripture say? That is what matters. Not what do people say. What does a preacher say? What do you say? What do I say? What does the Scripture say? What does the Scripture say about the end times? It will be as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. It will be as it was in the days of Noah. What does Scripture say about the end times? Many false prophets and false Christs will appear. What says the Scripture? A time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Oh, we could go on with the headline, What does the Scripture say? What does it say to you and me? Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And the Lord himself told us, confirmed it, in Matthew 17, verses 10 and 11, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. We could continue and ask, what says the Scripture about it? And we believe that Scripture is also fulfilled in this point, that God wanted to send a famine upon the land. And it is also fulfilled in that food was made available, which is then to be distributed in due season in the house of God. One could continue to ask, what says the Scripture about it? Beloved, I would like to share this with all of us, because it has become so important to me personally. What does the Scripture say about it? How does God see the matter? That is the point. What matters is not how people see it, and not what people say about it, but what says the Scripture. Let us continue with this topic. I actually wanted to read the few verses from Psalm 114 to provide the brief context that is close to my heart. Psalm 114. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. Today, I would like to draw a comparison between the exodus of the people of Israel under Moses, the entry into the promised land under Joshua, and the exodus of the New Testament church at its beginning, and the entry into the promised land now at the end. There are parallels in Holy Scripture that are prophetic in nature and which we must therefore take to heart and observe. When God led his people out, when he fulfilled the promise he had given, not before, but at that moment, Judah became his sanctuary, the sanctuary where he dwelt, where he could pitch his tent, where he spoke with Moses from the supernatural cloud at the entrance of the tabernacle, and where he accompanied the people of Israel. Israel was his domain. You can already see that there is a difference here between Judah and Israel, just as there is a difference between the church and the bride. One comes out of the other. And we believe that God has a sanctuary on earth, and that is His chosen bride. God said that He does not dwell in a building made by human hands. He says, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. But where would be the resting place where I could dwell?" God has a people on earth. And you may now look at your failures and weaknesses and ask yourselves, "Can it be me? Do I belong?" And I say to you, in faith and with certainty, if we who believe God's word, which was given by revelation directly at God's command, according to what God foretold, if we who believe this revealed word are not, then I ask you and beg you, tell me who it should be. Those who pass God by and what He is doing now, who despise it, who even look with contempt upon us who believe biblically. No, it was the people who were led out, among whom God had taken dwelling. Now it is the children of God who have been led out, among whom the Almighty takes dwelling. For where His word is received, where His word is honored, there He is received, there He is honored. Where His word has a place, there He has a place. Where His word has authority, there He has authority. Do you see what this is about? It is about the word in all its fullness, not just a few parables that anyone can apply to themselves or take out of context. It is simply a matter of letting God be true and holy in all His deeds. If we have no respect for God's deeds, which have been supernaturally confirmed, then our worship is futile. It is in vain. Then we may end up like the people of Israel, singing the psalms with inner emotion, but singing with inner emotion without God. They sang without God, sacrificed without God, preached without God, and so on. It was John who paved the way for the Lord, who led the people to Him. So God has given a message in these days according to His word of teaching, revelation, correction, rebuke, a leading out of everything unbiblical and a leading into everything biblical. The old leaven, the old traditions, the old knowledge, all of that is left behind. Behold, everything has become new. And we ask on every point, what does the Scripture say? What does the Scripture say about the Godhead? What does the Scripture say about baptism? How was baptism performed according to the Scripture? Tell me, what does Scripture say about all these points that are controversial among people, even among spiritual leaders? Would one take off one's shoes, as Moses and later Joshua did, out of reverence for the word of God. And truly, as it says in the prophet Isaiah, tremble at the thought of my word. Let us regain this holy reverence for God, so that we may come before His face in the right way and receive every word in faith, so that the divine impact may also take place in us. It goes a little further here. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The Red Sea fled at the Exodus. The Jordan receded at the entry. The Lord was the same at the Exodus. He was the same at the entry. He gave the promise. He led them out. He even made sure that His people did not perish in the desert, where everything was dry and miserable. And if we now have to go through a desert journey, then let us at least drink from the rock of salvation. Even if God's great power is not revealed at this time, let us not grow weary or thirsty, but joyfully draw water from the well of salvation. For God was also gracious in that He did not hold their follies against them, even though He said, they always go astray in their hearts and do not recognize my ways. But in the end, He had His way with His people, whom He carried through, fed with manna, and watered with water from the rock. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10, they drank from a spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Even today, we drink from this spiritual rock. As I said, not much of God's power was revealed through signs and wonders during this journey through the desert. But God did not abandon His people. He helped them. He satisfied their hunger and also their thirst. And we can say the same thing. God has not forsaken us or failed us in these dry times. He has given us His word as food and has quenched our spiritual thirst. No one needs to perish. On the contrary, we have been strengthened and refreshed again and again, not for our sake, but for the sake of God's faithfulness. But here it says, the sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. What did the sea see? Who did the Jordan see? Not only Moses and Joshua. They saw the Lord, who was with His people, watching over His word to bring it to fulfillment. The same will be true at the end. Certainly not for my sake, and certainly not for your sake, but for the sake of God's word, for the sake of His faithfulness and truthfulness. God cannot leave His work undone. He will not leave it unfinished. He will fulfill it. Let us build a bridge to the New Testament. What happened in the beginning? Great signs and wonders. One could ask the leper who came to the Lord and said, I want to be made clean. And the Lord said, I will be clean. One could ask, leprosy, what was it that you saw? Who was it that exercised authority over you? What would leprosy say? Not, I saw the leper, but I saw the great physician, the Lord, who healed the sick. If one were to ask the blind man, what did you see? I know what his answer would be. I trusted the Lord, and he did it. What was it, blindness, that made you depart? What was it, deafness, that made you depart? What was it, sea? What was it, Jordan? Who did it? Whom did you see? Whose power did you feel? The power of Almighty God. Beloved, I believe in this. Amen. Thank you, beloved brother. I do too. We all believe it with all our hearts, but not just with our Lord. We could ask, what was it for you sick people who were laid on the streets of Jerusalem to wait until Peter would come along? What was it for you sick people? Who did you see? Did you only see Peter? Did you only feel his shadow somehow as he passed over you? What about all the sick people? They placed their trust in the Almighty God and knew that the Almighty, when he was not himself on earth, could use prophets, apostles, and men of God through whom he himself performed miracles. It was not human beings. It was the power of God that was manifested through the faith of those whom God used and who wanted to experience God, so that all glory might be given to the Almighty. One could ask those on whom Paul's handkerchiefs were laid, what happened to you? Whom did you see when you had your experience? It was the Lord who revealed himself among his people in the beginning. What was all this? What did they see? Not only the people, they saw the power of God working in the believers. And the same was in Brother Branham's ministry. And what God has done through the restored ministry of the messenger, he must and will inevitably do in the restored bride. I have no doubt about that. If I had to do it, then I might get nervous and worry about it. But God's plan is already complete and ready, as the song goes. Here we are not being told about the interim period, but about the exodus and the entry. Both are based on God's promise. God had said to Abraham, after 400 years, I will bring your descendants out of the land of bondage. God makes promises and fulfills them when the time comes. God had not only said that he would lead them out, God had also said that he would lead them in. I will give you the land of Canaan. It was the promise that came from the mouth of God. When the time came for it to happen, the Lord, the living God, was present again and actively present at that. We all know that God is with us, even in the interim period, and we know this because of the promise He has given. I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. He said it, and that is how it will be. I believe that He spoke the truth. And here too, we could ask, what does the Scripture say about it? Scripture says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Again and again, we must ask ourselves the question, what does the Scripture say? And Scripture speaks of the time of refreshing, of the restoration of all things, of the latter rain, of the short and mighty work that God will do, that He will rise up as in former days to finish His work. Remember the Scripture from Isaiah 28, Habakkuk 1, verse 5, several Scriptures, Hebrews, Romans, wherever. We do not want to go into detail, but there are indeed not just one or two Scriptures. There are many Scriptures in the Old and New Testament on which we are founded. And because of these Scriptures, we have a justified hope in God, and we know that He cannot possibly deceive us. On the contrary, even the thought that God would not do what He has said is a terrible insult. For whoever does not believe God makes him a liar. We must learn to look away from ourselves and our circumstances and look to the Lord. Look to Him, all ye ends of the earth. It is just like that, that God has made man dependent on Him. Imagine if we could do everything on our own, only in the name of the Lord. What would we not do? One would do this, another would do that. Everyone would know enough to do, because everyone wants God to be honored. Everyone wants great things to happen. And what would happen then? The greatest confusion in all great deeds. No, the final round looks different. A classification and insertion into the will and plan of God. A becoming still and persevering in order to then witness the most powerful showdown of our God at the end of this time of grace. It is not we who serve God. God uses us to do what He has promised in His Word. We will only be a part of His work, but we want to reach the point where it can truly be said, this is the sanctuary of God. This is a gathering where God is present. There it has become clear that He is in our midst. And we believe that the time will come when people will no longer need to ask, where is your God? But will come to experience God. And I maintain that in the same way that the Lord majestically empowered the New Testament Church equipped it for service, and brought it into being. In the same way, the called out church will be empowered, equipped, and put into service as the bride, as the place of revelation of the living God. And I ask you once again, believe God, believe that He has already given the things that are not yet, because He has promised it in His word. Let us be like Abraham, who saw what was not yet there, looking at it as if he already saw it. And he ignored the circumstances surrounding him that contradicted God's promise. And he did not stagger in unbelief, but became stronger and stronger in faith, because he considered the one who had made the promise to be faithful, that he would also fulfill it. Now I ask you, is God faithful? Amen. Amen. The ceiling should have lifted before the amen that comes from our mouths and, of course, from our hearts. He even says, if we are unfaithful, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. But I have one more question to ask, and let each of you answer it honestly for yourselves. Despite the human failings we may have, is not the Word of God so deeply rooted in our hearts and souls that we are so intimately connected with it, that it is impossible to separate ourselves from it? Is that true? Is that true? And that is what it is really all about. How many times must I say it? First, the people of Israel carried the promise. And when the time of fulfillment came, the promise carried them over. I maintain that the revealed word is already a part of us, and we are a part of the word. And then we go to Romans 8. What shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord? And when we have experienced His love in this all-encompassing way, that He has redeemed us, forgiven all our sins, given us new life, reborn us to a living hope, opened our understanding for the Scripture, what else should we list? God has made His ways known to us, shown us His deeds in our days, given us an overview of what was, what is, and what will be. And why? Because He is the I Am, who was, who is, and who is to come. He was in the past, He is present, and He will be in all future. Through the revealed word, He has fully revealed to us His past, present, and future plan of salvation by grace. And no one could give it to themselves. It truly fell into our laps. I must say it this way. I have not researched it, not worked it out through knowledge in any way. It has fallen not into my lap, but deep into my heart by the revelation of the Word and the Spirit. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God is the Word. And in the end, it must be exactly the same. The hour of Carmel, of which Brother Branham spoke, is yet to come. A challenge to all the Baal priests and Asherah priests, 400 here, 550 there. A people of God will be called to the fore, whose Lord is the only true living God. As it was in the days of Elijah, if the Lord is God, then serve Him. The challenge must come, and it will come. The Almighty will not leave us without an answer. He will majestically finish His work He has begun. What was it to you, Red Sea, that you fled, that you retreated? What was it to you, Jordan, that you divided? What was it to all those to whom God's glory and power was revealed? It was the direct presence of God, and the power of God was revealed. The story was then no longer just a promise, a spoken or now written word. It was a living, experienced divine reality among those who experienced the work of God according to the promise given in their days. And we can expect nothing less in these days. Not only the message of restoration, but the restored power of God and the presence of God in the church of the called out, in which the last promises of God will be fulfilled, must be fulfilled, because God has given them to Him, the Almighty, who began and will finish, be thanks now and forever. And I would like to add one more request. Do not let doubt and unbelief take hold of you. Simply reject both of these things with all your might. And don't listen to the devil, who already raised a question mark in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say that? Do not listen to him at all. And if you want to say one more sentence, then simply say, "You are lying," and then nothing more. No believer speaks to the devil. The devil is rejected. Get it behind me. Finish. Nothing else. If anyone engages in conversation with him, it would be the greatest folly a believer could ever commit. The devil is rejected as a liar, and God is honored and praised as truthful by the children of God. We know that the devil has been a liar from the beginning, and we know that God is truthful. 1 John 5:20, and we are in Him that is true. And if we are in Him who is true, then the testimony of the true one is our testimony. And then the truthfulness of God speaks through us, and we praise and glorify the Lord for His great grace and goodness. To Him, the God of Abraham, the living God, who is only waiting for the moment to finish His work, to Him be praise and honor, glory and worship, now and forever. Amen. Beloved Lord, we thank you that you are present. You are God in heaven and God on earth. May your name be praised from the rising of the sun to its setting, by all peoples, tongues, and nations, whom you have made your own people through your blood shed on the cross, through the covenant you made there. Beloved Lord, here we are, gathered in your name. We have heard your word. We have heard anew what the scriptures say. Oh, we are pardoned and again pardoned. You have made your ways known to us, and you will surely make your deeds known to us. For thus it is written, that you made your ways known to Moses, and your deeds to the people of Israel. You have also made your ways known to your prophet in our generation, revealing your mysteries. You will show your deeds to your people. You are a great God. There is no question about that. You spoke the universe into existence. You spoke, and it came to be. You commanded, and it stood fast. You are God, the Almighty, the Living One, the Present One, who will prove himself mighty to those who believe him and trust him with undivided hearts. Beloved Lord, you have seen the raised hands. You know what is in the heart, in the lives. You know the concerns. We bring everything to you, and we bring it to you in faith. For in truth, we all have this or that request, needs of various kinds. We come before you with petitions, with prayer requests, for all saints, for all believers, and for all those who are becoming believers. Forgive sin, heal the sick, bless your people, hear our prayers, and answer them for the glory and praise of thy name. To you, the living God, we present your own work. Finish it with your people and also with the people of Israel. Faithful God, it is you who began it. It is you who will finish it. I thank you for this gathering, for your wonderful word. Continue to bless Africa, bless Russia, bless all of Europe, bless the whole world. Grant your gracious visitation, that many more may be reached and brought into the kingdom of God. I thank you again for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.